and see your Bibles this morning. Word, see your pens, and the lesson plan. Turn to Genesis chapter 6, please. Genesis 6. If you are a visitor, welcome to The Rock. My name is Miles. What's up? I'm the pastor of The Rock, the target of all criticism. Bring it on, baby. I was this the Wednesday and Friday, I spoke at a Christian college here in Southern California, and my topic on Friday was sexual purity. I dealt with the issue of what sex is, Adam and Eve, gay marriage, homosexuality. And after the chapel, I went to the cafe, sat down, talked with one of the deans of the college who was on our board. We were talking about stuff, and as we were sitting there, he was saying, one of the toughest things you're going to have to deal with being outspoken is you're going to get criticized from Christians. And as the words were coming out of his mouth, a young lady walked up, very emotional, she was breathing hard, her heart was pounding, and she expressed how there were about 12 students in a room speaking with the chaplain, very angry at what I said, and how they were upset because I targeted homosexuals and singled them out and their sin as being worse than we're going to take this country down, et cetera, based on what I said. And so I'm going to do that again this morning. But let me say this. And their heart was that we are sympathetic to gay people. And they didn't hear what I said, because I am sympathetic to gay people. And in the sense that if you are gay this morning, your family gay, God loves you, but you need to repent. And God will accept you, and the church needs to accept you and love you. If you're an adulterer this morning, you need to repent. God loves you, and the church should accept you. But if you say you are not going to repent and your lifestyle is correct, then we have a problem. And there is no room to negotiate, at least here. There are churches that are accepting homosexual lifestyles normal. I think that is satanic. It's wrong. There's no right in it. And so my comments, I'm going to tell you some stuff this morning I think is going to blow your mind. But what I want to do is I want to talk from Genesis 6, because in Genesis 6 we see almost a prophetic message to us. And I am not a prophet. I don't claim to be a prophet. Prophet someone does say the Lord God's going to do this, 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 this. The only time I'll say God's going to do this, 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 because the Bible says that. But I am going to say some things today that will seem prophetic. Now, the reason I want to say I'm a prophet, because if I'm wrong, you got to stone me. In the Old Testament, if you a prophet said something, it didn't happen, they had to stone him. So I'm not a prophet. But I think we really need to pay attention. And I'm going to warn you, this is not, what I'm going to say is not inappropriate for little children, but what I'm going to warn you is that what I'm going to tell you, for most of you, is going to blow your mind. It's going to shock you what's happening today in America. Let's look at chapter 6, verse 1. Now it came to pass, when men began to multiply in the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves, of whom they chose. Now, the title of today's message is, As in the Days of Noah. Now, you have to understand, the reason God flooded the earth in the days of Noah, because of the sin that was on the earth in the days of Noah. And what I'm going to tell you and describe to you, it seems like the sin that was in the earth in the days of Noah is happening here, something to like today. Not the same exact thing, because we're going to see in a minute, it's not the same exact thing. But God destroyed the earth because of the sin. And the sin was sexual in nature. God destroyed the earth with Sodom and Gomorrah. He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of sexual sin. Homosexuality is why he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Where does the word sodomy come from? Where it comes from. And so God you know, people hear people say all sin is the same. All sin is not the same. It's not the same. If I steal a little piece of candy from that store, $2, that's a sin. Very different than if I go kill somebody. The consequences are different. In society, the sin is not the same. The Bible says that sexual sin is not like any other sin, because every other sin is outside the body and sexual sin is against the body. So the Bible's clear. Sin is not the same. And his judgment is different. So pay attention. Look what it says in verse 1 again. Came to pass when the men began to multiply in the earth and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves, all whom they chose. Now this sons of God, some people think the sons of God are human descendants of Seth, who was a godly son of Adam and Eve. And they believe that the daughters of men were carnal women, descendants of Cain. They believe that the godly line of Seth was intermarrying with the ungodly line of Cain. That's one way of looking at the sons of God. But others believe that the sons of God were really demonic beings that were uniting themselves to women. Let's keep reading. How that happens, I don't know. The Lord said in verse 3, the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward when the sons of God, these demons, came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. And the Lord saw the wickedness of man was on the earth, and that every intent of their thoughts of his heart was evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing, birds of the air, for I am sorry that I made man. And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Look in your notes. First, in the days of Noah, the earth was full of wickedness. We see that today. The earth is full of wickedness. And we could have said that for the last 100 years. But it's getting worse and worse and worse. It also says man's thoughts were continually evil. There were strange sexual unions. We'll get to that in a minute. And the world was full of corruption and evil. We just read that. But look in your notes. The sons of God, the word is Ben Elohim, which means the son of God. And the son of God in that context is a being that God directly created. Now, we are sons of God and daughters of God because we were born again. This son of God is, when Satan, in Job, God had a meeting when the sons of God, his angels, came to a meeting and the devil was there also. These are creatures that God directly created. Like an angel. Adam, not Eve. Remember, Eve was made from Adam, but God made Adam. So here we have this very strange passage that it seems to say that these demonic sons of God were uniting with humans. Now, how is that possible? That's a big mystery. It could be that they possessed humans and had babies. Now, if you look in your notes, it says that there are a couple of verses that support this. One, angels sinned, 2 Peter 2, 4-8, and they left their former domain to seek strange flesh. You can look at those passages in 2 Peter 2, 4-8 and Jude, verses 5-7, that it talks about in the days of Adam that these angels left their domain and they sought after strange flesh, humans. Strange to them, it's different from them. My point is this, is that during the days of Noah, the earth was corrupt. There was evil continually. There was these strange sexual unions. And these children were being born but as a result of these strange sexual unions. And evil was filling the planet. That is in process today. Now, we are on the verge of legalizing or contemplating legalizing gay marriage. Now, some of you are sympathetic to gay people who want to be married and think it's discriminatory to not allow them to be married. Yes, it is. I can't marry my sister. It's illegal. And I am fine with that. It's illegal for me to marry my daughter. I am fine with that. It's illegal for me to marry my mother. So yes, we discriminate every day. A man can't go into the woman's bathroom. We discriminate all the time. It is wrong. Why is it wrong? Because God said so. Well, let's take the Bible out of it. Why is murder wrong? Because God said so. Why is lying wrong? God said so. Why is rape wrong, incest wrong, molestation of killed children wrong? Because God said so. No other reason. The government didn't decide that. God decided that. So you either have to take the whole Bible out, which is happening in this country, by the way, or you have to say, where do we get these rules from? We get these rules from the maker, the creator. We're not discriminating against anybody. A gay person can get married as long as he marries according to the law. Now, here's what the issue is. And let me be very clear on this and qualify myself. If someone is gay and they want to repent, God loves them. What I am going to be fired up about in a second is the fact that there is a political agenda to homosexualize and degenderize our society. And I don't mean that everybody be homosexual, but that we all would accept some really strange, perverted mentality. And I'm going to describe to you what's happening right now in elementary schools, right now today in California, that is perverted from the devil. It's all part of the agenda. I am against that. The other thing about homosexuality is that there are some homosexuals who want to repent. You know, we love them. We have them in our church. I know them. No problem with them. I'm talking about the people who are saying, no, the Bible's wrong, and Pastor, you need to endorse my lifestyle. Oh, no, now we got to fight. There are churches who do that, and people, by the way, will pick churches based on that principle. There's people today who are now meeting with pastors today, here, deciding whether they're going to join this church based on that issue. We will never, ever endorse homosexuality as biblically correct. I am probably will go to jail. That is not going to happen. It is wrong. Now, I know as Christians, we want to be politically correct, especially in California, we want to be up on it. Let me tell you something. Stop. Stop. Don't go there. You are wrong. It's wrong. It's perverted. It's an abomination. It's all in the Bible. Now, a few weeks ago when I was talking about this, see, the issue is not whether the law should give rights to two people who live together because they love each other. You don't have to get married to make a commitment of love. I love my children. I don't have to marry them to make that commitment. I love a whole lot of people. I don't have to marry any of them. I love my, you can love your animal. As a matter of fact, someone made an allusion to bestiality on a commercial being suggested because something about a dog and it was a commercial during the Super Bowl that some made reference to a them and them dog going up to some room and doing something. This is in America? But here's my point, is that what the agenda and the battle is over is the right for any consenting adult to marry whoever they want and have the same rights as a heterosexual couple. What that means is this, not that one man can have the right to marry another man only, or one woman has the right to marry another woman only, but that any group of adults have the right to marry anybody, any other group of adults that they want. That's what the law opens the door for. It's not limited to two people. And in Mississippi, a 15-year-old girl has the right to, she's at a consent age. She can now make a decision of an adult. So I want you to imagine this. And this is in Mississippi. I don't know if the consent age is going to be lower than here, but I would believe that would be the next thing, is that you have legalized pedophilia. Is that you have an adult who is saying to a child, 16, 17 years old, hey, you know, I'm your coach or whatever it is, let's get married, and guess what? The parents can't do anything about it. This is what's going to happen in this country. And you have these little kids who are growing up and their mommy is a man and their daddy is a woman. That is going to break God's heart. It's happening right. It's already happening. Now here's the deal. They're going to teach these little kids that through this example is that you don't even know if you're a man or a woman, you know, because a husband can be a woman. And little kids, gay and lesbian relationships is normal. So if Johnny, if you feel like you like your friend Jim, you guys can be a couple. And one of you can be the girlfriend, one of you can be the boyfriend. Matter of fact, you may even think you're a girl. Now, I'm going to say something that you're going to think I'm crazy, and then I'm going to back it up. You may even think you're a girl. And John, if you think you're a girl, you could be a girl. Last night I was watching TV. Did you hear what I just said? I'm going to say it again because you didn't hear me. Johnny, if you think you're a girl, you can be a girl. Sal, if you think you're a boy, it's okay for you to be a boy because maybe you're a boy. Okay? You think, well, that's, he's just throwing that in there, putting that on a gay thing. No. Okay. I was watching TV last night. Last night. Yesterday. This was not science fiction. It was KUSI, the news. Last night. Saturday night. 2004. March 20th. I was in my house here in California of the United States of America. There's a school in Westminster, California that is getting ready to lose $40 million of government funding. Elementary school. Because they won't allow the children to decide their own gender on their own. I'm going to explain that a different way. In the state of California, where we live, where we are sitting right now, 2004, that if a child says, I am a girl, and in fact they are a boy, that they have to acknowledge that and honor that. And this school will not do that. And the government's saying, we are going to take over your school and possibly your school district if you do not force this. And that if a little girl says she's a little boy, go into the girl's bathroom. They show the bathroom doors. This is happening today. You know what the Bible says? If you hurl on one of these little ones that believe in me, it would be better that a millstone hang around your neck and you get thrown into the sea. Our country, our state, by the way, our country is a leader on the planet Earth. This state leads the country in a lot of ways. We are going to institutionalize that a little kid can decide that they are not, that they can decide their own gender. Here's what they said. Gender is not decided by your body. It's decided by your perceived sexuality. Little kids. What does a little kid know about that? Little kids. Now listen, if you're an adult and you want to go do that nasty mess and it's nasty, you go do it on your own. But do not mess with those little kids. And we're going to stand around as Christians and go, well, you know, just let them be. They love each other. Let them. Oh, there's a satanic agenda that's up here, my friends. I was watching just before this, or this before this piece came on. They had this gay woman and her, I don't even know. I don't know. The other person that's they're hooked up. Partner, husband, wife, whatever they call it. Or whatever, who, I don't know who the wife, who the husband was because, you know, I couldn't tell. They were both women, so I don't know what they were thinking they were. And the fact they had breasts, that didn't mean anything, that they were women. They could have been a man with breasts. I don't know what that is. And I'm not trying to make fun. It's crazy. 13 pastors approved their ministry. Whew! That ain't happening here. If you're thinking that's what we believe, go somewhere else. Now, let me qualify. If you want to repent, we we'll love you. We really will. If you got family and this is hurting your feelings and bothering your feelings, listen, we'll love them. But it ain't happening. It ain't happening here. There's a line being drawn in the sand. All the churches who endorse homosexuality over here and all the churches who don't go over here, that's happening today. And all the churches that are over here today, you know, they're prosecuting two pastors back east for committing gay marriage. They're prosecuting them for doing gay marriage. I like that. But when they reverse the law, guess who they're going to prosecute? The people who are talking against it. In America, your lifetime, the days of Noah. The days of Noah. I don't know if God's coming back before we die. I'm not a prophet. But I can tell you what. I can't imagine God sitting around watching us poison these little kids year after year. I just spoke to a woman. She was in for a service. She works for the county. She said, we had a camp. This happened, San Diego. We had a little camp, little kids. A little girl was cross-gender. That's the little term they call it. I think I'm a boy. They let the little girl sleep in the boy's bunk, in the boy's cabin. Now, I want you to understand what this means. That these little kids, when you grow up thinking I'm a girl, I'm a boy, I'm having sex with a girl. I'm a girl physically. I think I'm a boy, and I'm gay, so I'm going to have sex with another boy because we're gay, but I'm a girl physically. Do you have any idea what these kids are going to be when they grow up? And those are the kids that are going to be running our country? And they'll be a teacher of your children? This is what's happening today? And the church is sitting around going, oh, we just pray that we should love them. No. It's not about loving people. It's about righteousness. And when God's lightning bolt falls, I want to make sure it don't hit me. I want to make sure that God knows where I stand and where you stand. You know, politicians got to play the game because they got to please the masses. And here's, by the way, here's the saddest thing about this. And this is what should shame us as a church. There are tens of millions of so-called Christians in this country. I say so-called because a lot of them are hypocrites and they don't know anything about God. They're just going to church playing games. And there's this 1-2% of gay, the population is gay. Only 1-2%. And yet they're changing our country. You know, I heard a statement the other day that the history has been made, always history has been made by a small minority of people. Hitler was one guy. The gay population is a very small population. And they're saying, we want our rights. And the government's saying, okay. And one of the reasons it's so easy, because we sit around and do nothing. And I don't know how what we're going to do. One of the first things we're going to do is we got a book that we want to, it's in a bookstore called Getting It Straight. It talks all about the homosexual issues and stuff and why it's going to be bad for kids to raise kids in that environment. It's common sense, but it'll give you some statistics. Write in a bookstore, go get it. But we're going to figure out how to do this. Because we cannot let this happen. You know, Arnold Schwarzenegger said, whatever the people wants. Well, listen, we got to let him know what the people want. Because somehow, and then let me tell you something. You could say, just leave the adults alone. Okay, fine. Let's do it for the kids. Let's do it for the kids. Let's keep reading. Verse 4. It says on verse 3, the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Look in your notes. The Holy Spirit was striving with man. What does it mean, the Holy Spirit striving with man? God's saying, I love you. Get it through your head. I love you. Get it through your head. It don't matter what your behavior is. I love you, and I want you to repent, and I will forgive you and accept you and transform you. I will. But do not come to me and tell me you're going to have your way and do what you want to do. It don't work that way. It don't work that way at home. You can't go to your dad and say, Dad, I'm not obeying your rules. Well, I don't know who your dad is. Maybe your dad lets you do that. He ain't a good dad. The Bible says God loves those who he chastens, those who he loves. If I learn rules in home, that's one of the purposes of your parents, is to set guidelines. God is the ultimate parent. There are guidelines. You know the average lifespan of someone with HIV is 39 years old? 39. You know the average lifespan of a gay man who doesn't have AIDS? 42. So here's what we're going to tell kids. Oh, this lifestyle's normal, little Johnny. Go ahead. It's going to kill you, though. It's going to take about 40% off your life. It's going to increase your chance of getting HIV by 5,500. But it's normal. Police. 5,500. And on about, there's a whole bunch, and again, you get the book. There's a whole bunch of information. We cannot let this happen. And God is saying his spirit is striving with us. He is begging. Let's keep reading. Look in your notes. Write down, God's heart was grieved. God's heart was grieved. It says in verse 6, the Lord was very sorry that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing, birds of the air, for I am sorry that I made man. It grieved God's heart. And look in your notes, point number 4, justice was demanded and 120 years was given. Now, I'm not saying in 120 years from now, God's going to do something. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying that's what he said in the Bible. He says, your time is limited. The clock is running. God promised he wouldn't destroy the earth with water. That is the symbol of the rainbow. The homosexuals say it's their symbol. It's God's symbol. And God says, here's my symbol. And you know what the symbol was? I'm never going to destroy the earth by water. Next time it's going to be fire. That's like telling your kids, I'm never going to spank you again. Really? Whew. But I'm going to whoop you. Oh, yeah, you getting whooped. God said 120 years. I need to say this because I forgot this. If you are a male person today, okay, you have everything physically that says you are a man. I can't even believe I'm saying this in church. I can't believe I'm saying it. Forget the fact I'm in church. If you are a male human, you are a man. You are not a woman. I don't care what you think or feel, you are not a woman. If you think you're a woman, you have a mental illness and you need to get help. There is no women trapped in men's bodies. And if you are a woman and you have everything that makes you a woman, like a womb, okay, you are a woman. You're not a man. It don't matter what you feel or think. Don't let anyone convince you. And you know what? I hate to say this, but you might need to tell your kids that. Because they might be hearing something different at school. I can't believe I'm telling you this. In America, in 2004. You know what God says? Oh, it's on. I ain't standing for this. I don't know how long he's going to take it. He may wait 100 years. I don't know. But let me tell you something. When he comes back, I'm going to be on this side of the fence. And you know what? I'm going to take as many people with me. I only got one person to please. That's him. You only have one person to please. Your boss, your friends, your neighborhood, they're all going to be over here. You better decide where you're going to be because you can't go back and forth. You can't have one foot on both sides of the fence. This is barbed wire on the fence. Mm-hmm. Think about that. Look in your notes. Grace was found, and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Grace was found. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Then it says Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation. Noah walked with God. Noah walked with God. He did according to God's commands, and Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Oh, God is looking for some Noahs. Here's what's happening. This world is going down quick. Quick. What is right is considered evil, and what is evil is considered right. You and I, as Christians who believe the Bible and believe homosexuality is wrong, are going to become a target of ridicule and prosecution. They will come after the church soon. They will. You cannot say that in church, Mr. McPherson. Clinkety clank. Because guess what? You could put me in your jail. I don't want to get punished by him. I don't want to get punished by him. Look what it says in verse 8. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This was the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man. Everyone say just man. He was perfect in his generation. Say perfect. And he walked with God. Say walk with God. When you think of Noah, don't think the ark. Think of a man who was surrounded by immorality who stood up for God. That's who Noah was. See, when people think of the rock, they go, oh, big church, we're going to have this big building and all this stuff. Don't think that. Don't think that. Hopefully you think people who trusted God. Noah was a man. He was a just man. He perfect. Walked with God when everybody else was freaking. When everybody else was in pornography and homosexuality and transvestite and all this stuff that is wrong. Noah said, not me. And when it had never rained on the earth, Noah built a boat. What are you doing, Noah? I'm going to give you something that's really eerie. Look at the bottom of your notes. This is a freaky, freaky, freaky. Noah's ark was, oh, I'm sorry. Before we read that, let's look in your Bible at, look at your Bible at verse 15. God tells him about the ark. And then he says in verse 15, this is how you shall make it. The length shall be 300 cubits. Its width 50 cubits. Its height 30 cubits. A cubit was about a foot and a half, 18 inches. So if you convert that to feet, look at the bottom. Noah's ark was 450 feet wide, long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high, three stories. The building went by and it's 444 feet long, 180 feet wide, and 45 feet high, three stories. I was like, can you make the building six more feet so we can be exactly 450? Now, am I saying that we have modern day Noah's ark? No. Am I saying that there's 120 years? But no, I'm not saying. But I'm really excited that that's true. It may mean nothing. What's interesting about our building, it was built in 1969 that we're purchasing. It's in the brochure. And it's a bomb shelter. It's able to withstand an atomic bomb. God said, ain't going to be water. It may be something else. And I'm going to give you an ark. That is freaky. Now, am I saying that? No, I'm not. But if something goes down, I'm going to tell you where I'm going to be. I'm going to be like, read my Bible. Right? Yeah. Remember me, Lord? No, you remember me, Lord? Now, if I was a televangelist, I'd be like, now you need to give your pledge. No, I'm kidding. But I'm not a televangelist, so, you know, we already took the offering, so don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. But I'm going to tell you what, that process that we're in, we just got a new attorney, and he says, go full steam ahead. Don't worry about all the stuff that's going on with the city. The city's on our side, by the way. They're getting attacked by another agency. He says, go. So we're going. And our future with the building and the money, it's going to be rocky. It's going to test our faith. There's no question about it. It happens all the time. It's going to cost about $50 million. I had a pastor the other day say to me, you got more faith than me. I said, I need more faith than me. But God told us about that property when the government owned it. And then the base closed. I didn't know that was going to happen. God did. And then the building came available. I was like, man, God, he's like, I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. It's a faith venture. Christianity is a faith venture. The world is going to call you out. What do you believe in? No more hiding. We tell you to read your Bible. We tell you to do your lesson plan. We tell you to do your quiz for a reason. They're going to call you out. They're going to question the Bible. They're going to question whether it's God's word or whether it's accurate, all this stuff. Where in the Bible did Jesus talk about homosexuality? Don't read the red letters, read the black ones. It's all Jesus' words. He wrote the word. He is the word. You need to know how to answer all that stuff because our culture is becoming sexually deviant, confused. Who are you to think that a man should only have sex with a woman? What are we thinking? What are we thinking? That I should only have sex with a woman. Oh, I'm sorry. That's how they're going to look at us. God says, and if I can find a Noah, look what it says in point 6 in your notes. God provided a plan for salvation. You know, the Bible says that all have sinned, fall short of the glory of God. Some of that sin is sexual, some of it's not. But it's sin. You know what Jesus says? You confess with your mouth that I am Lord, believe in your heart that God raised you from the dead, I'll forgive you. It don't matter what you've done. But if you don't, matter of fact, turn to John 3:16. It's probably the most famous verse. I don't think I've ever even, hardly ever quoted it. I read it. This may be a little revelation to you. A man named Nicodemus, a Jewish rabbi, came to Jesus and says, how do you do the things you do? Jesus said, unless a man is born again, he did not see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus says, saw Jesus walk on water, perform miracles, heal the blind, deaf, raise the dead. And Nicodemus says, I don't get it. I'm religious. I can't do any of that. And Jesus says, unless you're born again, born of the Spirit of God, the first birth is physical as a result of a union between a man and a woman. And the second birth is spiritual. Okay? So he's talking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus don't get it. He says, how can I be born again? Do I have to go back into my mother a second time? Can you imagine coming home from church? Mom, I got some good news. I got some bad news. This is what he's asking, Jesus. Okay? You think I'm making this up, don't you? Look at verse 16. Look at verse 4. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb? He really said that to Jesus. I don't understand being born again. He said, no, this is a spiritual birth. Now look at verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Oh, what a wonderful verse. God loves me. And yes, he does. That if you believe in him and you give your life to him, he will forgive you. You will not perish and you will have eternal life. Great story, ain't it? Look at verse 17. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe in him is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten son. Don't leave that out. Surrender your life to Jesus Christ, no matter what your sin is, and God will forgive you. But if you don't, you're condemned. That's not my opinion. It's Jesus' words. And I believe it. And that will take me to my grave right there. It's time for us to decide what we're going to be, church. It's time for us to decide what we're going to be. And I don't know how to say this, but we're going to try to figure out how to put a group together so we can make our voice heard to the governor and the mayor and the people of California that we don't approve of this trash that they're putting on our kids. So if you're in those, if you're in that world and you know how to do that, call the office, speak to Jennifer. Do not ask for me. I won't call you back. No, I won't. I don't want you to call thinking I'm telling you to call me. Call, ask for Jennifer, say I want to help. And because we need to do something. We can't sit around and let this happen to our children. And let's pray. Oh God, have mercy on us. Lord, there may be somebody here today who they don't want to be condemned. They believe you're the Savior. They believe you love them. And they want to be born again, as you told Nicodemus to be born again. If that's you this morning, you're saying, I want to be saved. Just pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, yes, I believe I'm a sinner. I believe my sin is wrong and that the penalty is death. But I believe Jesus died and rose from the dead for my sin. Jesus, please forgive me. I repent today. I want to be born all over again. I want to be a righteous person like Noah. Thank you, Lord. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer and you're saying today, Jesus, please forgive me, just stand to your feet real quick and we can acknowledge you. Just stand up and acknowledge his forgiveness. God bless you. Good. Stay standing. Good. God bless you. Very good. Very good. Good. Stay standing. Good. Very good. God loves you today, and you're saying, Lord, I want to receive that love and forgiveness. Stand to your feet. Anybody else? Good. Now, as we welcome you, we see you in the back, front, left, and right, men and women. As we welcome you to the family, God, we're going to ask you to do one more thing. We're going to ask you to just come out of your seat and come on down to the altar and give me a handshake down here. Let's give them a hand. They come on down. Amen. Who's the man? Stay right here, brother. God bless you. Stay right here. Stay right here. God bless you. You can face this way. You can face this way. I know. This way. Turn this way. God bless you. You can face this way. Face this way. Face this way. Amen. Who's the man? Jesus. How you doing? God bless you. God bless you. The Bible says if you confess your sin, God is faithful and just to forgive you. He has forgiven us. But the definition of repent is to turn and go the other way. We want to help you turn and go the other way. It's not God, forgive me, I want to go to heaven and do your own thing. It's God, I've been wrong because I'm human. Now I want to be right. Amen? It's time for us to decide that we're going to live right. It's not good enough just to come to the rock and say amen to Miles yelling and screaming. It's not. It's not good to come every week and give money and serve. It's not. You got to walk with God. But no one's looking. Walk with God. No one's looking. Because when he comes back, he ain't going to put it in the paper, next Sunday I'm coming back. He's just going to be here. And you don't want to be caught doing your do dirty when it's happening. Don't be living a McNasty life. Be like Noah. Let's pray for these people. Lord, we thank you for these people. We thank you for their faithfulness and their courage to come up here today. Lord, may we be holy. May we be holy. In Jesus' name, amen. Two things. The CD of the sermon in the bookstore, give it to somebody. In 2 weeks, we're going to be at the Mission Valley Marriott. Amen? and get the book on homosexuality. We're going to ask y'all to walk that way to that lady right there. Y'all walk that way right there, Tom. Let's sing a song.